You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Friday's edition of the podcast. We're looking ahead to the final day of racing on the Knavesmire as part of the Danze meeting. Plenty of good racing to come on Friday. We've also got Newmarket and Newbury in the afternoon. Then into the evening, we're racing at Aintree, Hamilton and Newcastle. Myself, Sam Norris, will be joined in the studio by Craig Forsyth and Tom Morley. But ahead of all the action, Andrew Mount is the man sitting next to me. How are you, Andrew?
Yeah, good, thanks, Sam. How's things?
Not bad at all, yeah. I've enjoyed the racing this week, and it's had an added edge to it given the rain that we've had at York, which has just rendered the ground a little bit questionable over the first 2 days of the meeting. We're not entirely sure how much has got into the ground. The fact that we've had drying conditions today has made it all a little bit of a minefield in terms of betting.
That's right, and it's certainly benefited the bookmakers. We've had a few funny results over the course of the 2 days so far.
Yeah, we certainly have. We'll take a little look back then on some of Thursday's racing, starting with the Middleton Stakes, which lost the star name a little bit earlier on in the day. Somi Dar was withdrawn by John Gosden due to concerns about the ground. Chain of Daisies also came out of the race, left us with a field of four, and the Black Princess and Queen's Trust appeared to have it between them in the betting ring pre-race, but it was the outsider of the Quartet Blonde Me that came to land the Middleton Stakes. Something of a surprise. It was certainly priced up as though wouldn't have had an obvious chance.
That's right, a bit of a place pot buster. So
yeah,
I hope if you were involved that you put all four of the runners in once Somi Dar was withdrawn. I was quite happy to take on the 6-4 second favourite Queen's Trust of Sir Michael Stout. I think this one needs a big field and strong pace. Had won twice previously. Last time out at Santa Anita in the States in a Grade 1 in a field of 13, and in a 14-runner Kempton Maiden, first time out back in 2015. And after that US win, Frankie Dettori, who rode, said, "I think the fast pace of American races played to her strengths." So I'd certainly forgive this last of four. She wasn't beaten a million miles, and I think a bigger field and stronger pace will see her in a better light next time out. Smart Call, who ran third, reportedly needed the run, according to our paddock watcher, Ken Peterson.
Right.
So to go down by about a length and a half in third was a decent effort. And I think we'll be seeing wins from that ex-South African trained runner in the very near future. But yeah, Blonde Me, I think, was better suited to a tactical event than the runner-up. Has had five runs in small fields of nine or less, has won four of them now. So I think we could see a very different result if these four competed against each other next time. So I'd certainly be looking at the beaten horses to perform better next time out. The Black Princess can probably be forgiven this, and as certainly can Smart Call and Queen's Trust. So form to perhaps be taken with a pinch of salt.
Yes, I think that's fair to say. On to the big race of the week then, the Danze Stakes, often one of the key derby trials. Again, one of John Gosden's star performers was pulled out of the race in the morning, Cracksman, who was the market leader. But in the end, the fact that Permian has come to win the Danze, Cracksman's ended up being flattered by the result of the Danze. And if you're a Cracksman backer, you can be infused that Permian has come to win the race and frank the form once more. So despite the fact he didn't line up, Cracksman's derby credentials have taken a big boost.
That's right. We go back to that derby trial at Epsom on the 26th of April. Cracksman came late to beat Permian by a short head with Bay of Poets back in third. And of course, Permian's now won twice since, beating Speedo Boy by 4.5 lengths in a listed contest at Newmarket under Ryan Moore. And then, of course, winning this today. So Mark Johnson's not had the greatest time at this meeting in previous years. And it was 0 from 18 last year and was 0 from 4 going into today's racing.
Yep.
But Permian has done it well. But it has no derby entry.
Indeed.
It's entered in two races at Royal Ascot, including the Queen's Vase, and has also entered in the Eclipse Stakes at Sandown, but will have to be supplemented if the derby's now the plan.
Yeah, 16-1 if you fancy Permian, who does need to be supplemented for the feature at Epsom. And the second horse as well, Andrew, hasn't got a Derby entry either. Ben Battle, who has taken a step forward with every run, really. Won his maiden extremely eye-catchingly. Was then a good third in the Craven and now second in the Dante to a horse who's got bags more experience than him in Permian. Ben Battle is a horse that seems to keep improving.
That's right. It was really impressive first time out at Doncaster, winning a 12-runner maiden by 7 lengths. Didn't settle when third in the Craven Stakes on the Rolly Mile last time, but still managed to do best of those who were ridden patiently. And again, didn't settle in the early stages here, stepping up in trip yet again. So I think there are plenty of races to be won with Ben Battle. And I certainly think longer term, this one may turn out to be the best horse to come out of this race.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd probably agree with that. The only one of the placed horses that does have a Derby entry then is Crystal Ocean, who had been really well backed for the Dante and for the Derby. He's been shortened up now to 10-1 with this here at William Hill for the Derby. He had to take a big step forward on the ratings. We knew that. The money was down. Were you suitably impressed by Crystal Ocean?
I was slightly disappointed that he didn't pick up down the middle of the track and come through to win the race.
Yes.
Having seen Blonde Mead do that in the Middleton Stakes. But still only go down by a length and a quarter after being very weak in the betting was still a good effort. And again, this was only his third career start. And paid a compliment to the horse Warrior Spirit, who beat him in a Newbury Maiden last year, as that one runs in the 8:30 at Newmarket on Thursday night. Is my nap. So,
right, good stuff.
I'm hoping Warrior Spirit can give that form a further boost.
Okay, Permian, the winner of the Dante Stakes and the feature race of the week. Anything else caught the eye in the handicaps today or perhaps yesterday, Andrew, that is worthy of consideration going forward?
Yeah, we've only had the one handicap today. That was a sort of non-runner decimated 5 furlong handicap.
Yeah, and Duke of Friends won for the second year in a row.
Yeah, I think what was interesting about the sprints on day one was that very little got into it from off the pace. Looking at the Infinity Tires handicap, Al-Kawar, the 25-1 winner for David O'Mara, was described as prominent, and runner-up Muntadab was making the running in that race. Now, I'm a big fan of Lincoln, who was third, coming out of stall 18. They did best of those to come from off the pace, and this is a horse that you've got to put in your trackers and write September next to him in big letters, because you look at his 5 career wins, they've all come during September. From the 10th to the 27th.
Right,
a lot of geldings only go well in the spring and autumn. I mean, this one has got a fair record in the month of May previously, finishing placed a few times. But when September comes around, make sure you're backing Lincoln Blind, because he does really well at that time of year.
Good stuff. Let's turn our attention then to the final day of the Dante meeting, the Friday, where, of course, the Yorkshire Cup is the feature. We'll be getting on to that race in due course. We'll start with the opening race on the card, which is the 220, the Marygate Filly Stakes, a listed heat over 5 furlongs. A show of betting at time recording sees Main Desire as the 7-2 favourite. Formidable Kit is 4-1, 13-2 about Kentish Waltz. Maggie's Angel 8-1, Giselle's Angel 10-1, Neola 10-1, 11-1, and bigger prices the rest of them. A really difficult race to assess, Andrew. The majority of the field come here in winning form, but they're all so lightly raced, the majority of them just had the one start. It's difficult to pinpoint which horses are going to take a step forward from what is pretty much an eye-catching run all round last time out, with the exception perhaps of the 66-1 outsider.
That's right. But the one that really does stand out here, based on her debut effort, is Main Desire for Michael Bell. Michael Bell's juveniles are well known for improving considerably from first to second run. He doesn't get a huge number of winners first time out. This one was 7-2 for a Nottingham maiden on debut, and absolutely cruised home, recording a massive speed figure according to race form for that particular effort. And I think she's going to be the one to beat here. But as you say, there's lots of lightly raced last time out winners.
Yeah.
And it's a really tricky one to decipher. Neola for Mick Shannon could well be the biggest danger at 10-1.
Okay, Main Desire, the selection then in the betting at 7-2 for the opener on the Friday. We go to race number 2 then on Friday from York, the 255, another listed event for the fillies over 7.5 furlongs this time. Dancing Breeze is the 11-4 favourite, On Her Toes 7-2, Sibilant 7-2, Tommy Riss is 7-1, 9-1 classical times, Mullin Matty is 9-1 and 12-1 for Bailey's Showgirl. And this isn't too dissimilar to the first race, Andrew. The only difference is we've got a few horses here who had busy two-year-old campaigns, but the majority of these three-year-olds are lightly raced.
That's right. And again, you're also looking at horses who've perhaps never raced on you know, going worse than good to firm as well. I mean, that would certainly bring in Dancing Breeze, the 11-4 favourite at the time of recording. And this one, say, was a winner on the Rolly Mile at the Craven meeting, but that's a track that often favours pace. And, you know, she was leading in her group that day. And I always like to take on these Newmarket frontrunners next time out, as sometimes the pace bias at that venue flatters them. So I'm going to side with Tommy Riss instead for Roger Varian.
Yep.
This one's had a couple of runs. First time out in a Kempton Maiden. Was described as in rear and rang green. It was a 25-1 shot. Finished really well that day to go down by less than two lengths behind Daban, the winner trained by John Gosden, who of course built on that when coming out to win at Newmarket next time, and then finishing third in the 1,000 guineas. And Tommy Riss herself won next time out. That was at Newmarket, again at the Craven meeting, but this time she was held up. So whereas the majority of the winners that day raced up with the pace, she was one of the very few to actually win after being given a patient ride. So I think that run can be upgraded, and Tommy Riss looks the value at the current 7-1.
Tommy Riss then at a 7-1 chance for that 255 gets the vote for Andrew. We go to the feature race then on Friday at York. The 3:30 is the Yorkshire Cup over an extended mile and 5 furlongs. It's a Group 2 contest, and the betting is headed by Dartmouth and Muntaha, who are the 4-1 joint favourites. Simple Verse 9-2, 5-1 for Crimean Tartar. Endless Time is 5-1. Last year's winner Clever Cookie is 8-1, 10-1 for Marmello. And High Jinx, the 33-1 outsider. What are your thoughts on this renewal of the Yorkshire Cup, Andrew?
It's a cracking renewal. We have to give a good mention to Clever Cookie. As you say, he won this last year. The 9-year-old has you know, got a real love affair with the Knavesmar as well. 8 runs here and 4 wins.
Yeah.
But that win last time out was actually his 3rd run of the season. So I just wonder if he might not be fully tuned up at his age. And I'm going to look elsewhere. Several with chances. Endless Time is interesting for Charlie Appleby, a winner first time out last season. But I'm going to take the pair on with Marmello for Huey Morrison. The Yards runners are in excellent form at the moment, particularly the Stayers, because they had a group winner at Ascot with Sweet Selection, I believe it was, a few weeks ago. And this one will appreciate the recent rain. It's been running in France sort of quite often, probably in search of the slower going.
Yes.
And was a winner at Chantilly last time out. That was in a Group 3 on her reappearance. And I think with that run behind her, we can expect another big run here for an inform yard.
Marmello, the selection then in the Yorkshire Cup, a 10-1 chance at time of recording. The final race that we'll preview then on Friday is the 4:05, which is a handicap over an extended mile and 3 furlongs. A Class 2 heat with 9 of them down to go to post. Betting is headed by Gibbs Hill at 7-4, 4-1 for Fidawi. Bergerillo is 9-2, 7-1 for Cumro. Southtown Lad 12-1 with Ashcool, 16-1 for Soldier in Action. Lord Yates is 20-1 and 40-1. For Song of Love. Really well supported favourite here, Andrew, in the shape of Gibbs Hill, who perhaps looks a touch on the skinny side to me, albeit he is likely to handle conditions.
That's right. He's never run a bad race. He was very green on his debut at Newcastle. That was just over a year ago. And since then, 2 seconds and 2 wins, latterly on the all-weather at Wolverhampton. But as you say, this is you know, a much tougher race. And whether you want to be taking 7-4 in such a competitive contest remains to be seen. There were two that caught my eye here. Cumro for Tom Dascombe. This one was a non-runner at Chester last week when not particularly well drawn. It had really caught the eye on his comeback at Pontefract when finishing 6th. He was badly drawn that day in stall 11, switched towards the inside rail and could just never strike a blow. He'll appreciate the recent rain and should go well at around about the 7-1 mark. But a very interesting one is the top weight here, Soldier in Action, for Mark Johnson. Now, we've talked a lot about Mark Johnson not having the greatest strike rate at this 3-day Dante meeting, but one area he does well is with his handicappers in smallish fields of 11 or fewer runners. The thing with Mark Johnson, most of the runners tend to race up with the pace. Those are tactics that can be hard to pull off on the Knavesmire, and his handicappers are often running in sort of 16, 20 runner fields and are facing competition for the lead. But Soldier in Action, previously trained by Nicky Henderson, probably needed the run when down the field at Musselburgh last month on his first run back with Mark Johnson after a spell hurdling. And I think with that behind him, with the smaller field to suit, I think he could perhaps surprise here at 16-1. And even though he was only 12th to Carbon Dating at Musselburgh in the Queen's Cup handicap last time, he did actually receive a good speed figure, and that race is working out pretty well as we speak, with I think it was the third, the Tartan Spartan, coming out and winning next time, and the runner-up Maleficent Queen ran behind Sweet Selection at Ascot in Group 3 company and finished a good fourth.
Okay, two against the field then in that 4:05. Cumro and Soldier in Action, the two to focus on. Give us a quick recap of your selections then, please, if you would, Andrew, for the third and final day of the Dante meeting.
Okay, in the 2:20, the five furlong listed fillies race, I'm with Main Desire for Michael Bell, impressive at Nottingham on her debut. In the 2:55, this is the fillies listed race, I'm with Tommy Riss for Roger Varian, Kempton winner last time out. Then on to the Group 2 Yorkshire Cup over 1 mile and six. I'm with Marmello for Inform Huey Morrison. And finally, the 4:05, I'm going to split stakes between the top two in the weights, Soldier in Action and Cumro.
Great stuff. There we are. Thoughts of Andrew Mount ahead of the Friday at York. And you can hear all of the racing on Racing Radio from 1:20 p.m. Myself, Sam Norris, joined in the studio by Craig Forsyth and Tom Morley on Friday. Thanks for that, Andrew. And enjoy the action on the Naismire on Friday.
Thanks, Sam. You too.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.